Live from a small thermal exhaust port right below the main port. And brought to you by Chevy Trucks. Like a rock. Chevy Trucks. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. This is episode number 25, and we are recording on the 4th of June, 2011. And Ellie, why don't we have theme music?
Well, Del, it is summertime after all.
And it was too hot for you to get theme music together for us?
Well, you know, it's the slowdown period. Everybody takes a break during the summer.
Well, you do realize that this episode number 25, and the fact that it is the beginning of June, represents our first year anniversary of the EQ2 Talk podcast.
I did realize that, but ironically, we didn't actually do 26 episodes, which would be one every 2 weeks if we did what we promised.
Yes, I understand. We've had a few snafus along the way. The infamous number 8. The time when we had to take extra time, I believe, when we had folks in from out of town last year. So we're not exactly, per se, every 2 weeks spot on. And I think we might have taken an extra week during the holiday. But this is it. A lot of people said we wouldn't get past episode 4.
Who said we wouldn't get past episode 4?
Well, I'm not going to name names and incriminate other people, mainly Delmon. But, you know, there were a lot of people who were judging and saying, this is just not going to happen. This is never going to last. But here we are, a year later.
That's pretty impressive. I'm shocked, actually.
You didn't think we were going to make it either, did you?
I don't know. I don't know.
You doubted it.
No, I had a schedule. Okay. I had our schedule planned out, but it sort of ended before now. So it's all, you know, unknown territory.
So much like the Mayan calendar, when the Ali schedule ran out, you just figured the podcast was going to fall off the edge of the earth or something?
Yes, exactly. But, you know, That whole rapture thing didn't happen either. So
looking back, though, it's been a exciting year. We've had our ups, we've had our downs, we've had our great moments, and we've had our outtakes, haven't we?
We've had some, yes.
And I know I'll never be able to top the Ali mug from last holiday season.
Oh, for my gift?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yes. So I thought, though, we should commemorate this auspicious occasion, this anniversary of ours. So I went on the internets and I found out what the traditional first anniversary gift is.
Okay.
And do you happen to know what it is?
Is it wood?
It is not wood. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to give you wood. It turns out the first traditional anniversary gift is paper.
Paper.
So I ran down to a past sponsor of the show's store, Staples.
Excellent.
And I picked up you a ream of paper.
A ream.
A whole ream.
You're reaming me.
Yes.
Excellent.
A ream of hammer and mill paper. I can't believe you went that way. You went gutter already here in episode 25. You went first.
Well, you know, it started in the shaft.
That is true.
It's all your fault.
It's only 2 meters wide. So, Allie, enjoy your ream of paper. And for folks who are at home listening at the podcast or maybe in the car, or if you're at work, I hope you have headsets on. A little behind-the-scenes information is that between the two of us here doing the EQ2 Talk podcast, one of us is far more likely to go through a ream of paper per show than the other. So I leave it to you at home to figure out which one of us needs the most paper to produce an individual episode of EQ2 Talk. And let's say it's not me.
That's nice. Nice. Thanks.
Well, one of us has the tendency to want to write down more than the other.
Are you mocking my need for notes? Are you mocking?
Yes, I am mocking the need for. Hold on, I'm printing again. But speaking of printing.
Well, if I misnumber the segments, then I have to reprint the whole thing. I'm so not green. I'm not green. It's really bad.
But speaking of printing, we had to print out some emails because we've been receiving a whole ton of emails, haven't we, recently?
We actually have received quite a few, and we had a couple of guests on, so we haven't really been reading them.
So we have fallen a little bit behind, so we have so many of them, we don't think we could actually even get through them all in a single show. So we took the list of emails that we had, and we picked three at random, and I thought we could go over those now. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so I think you're up first, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, check the schedule that you have printed.
It's under number one.
Oh, there it is.
So our first email is from Indibuff. She writes, I believe this was right after the most recent episode, the Bummercast. Do you remember the Bummercast, Del?
I do remember the Bummercast. It bummed me out.
I'm sorry. Indibuff writes, wow, what can one say? I'm so sorry to hear that you had such a drastic hit on your guild. As much as I hate to agree with Delmon,
woo-hoo,
he is right. No, she started with, I hate to agree with.
But I am right.
The people that left were the ones with one foot out the door already. They just needed a little push, and the recent downtime gave them that. I also think that some will return as well once they have their fun elsewhere. This game seems to be the place that many call home, even though they may wander off to other lands for a while. You are right in thinking that players on Live really need to come together now. A melding of guilds would solve the issues at hand. The problem is that so much work goes into building a guild, not many are willing to give them up. Maybe what is really needed to solve some of the issues for the raiders is for SOE to come up with a way to truly link guilds. Then the smaller guilds could band together, still as part of their home guild, but under the name of a co-op of guilds, let's say, with the ability to communicate as one guild. I know you could get something close to this with the tools now, but making this a real thing could be a saving grace to the guilds that have been hit so hard. As for me, you can find me on Extended these days. As much as I hate to admit Smokejumper was right on keeping this server separate, I don't think it would have worked well if the population had been spread over the Live servers. There's a life here that you just don't get on Live. New players that try the game and fall in love with it. The energy here is totally different than on Live. I really hate to say it, but many on Live seem bored, or worse, they've lost their spark for the game. I was just watching a conversation here, and they were talking about how negative the posts were on the Live forums. Many from Live have come here and made a home as well. So even if the quote-unquote love of the game is wearing thin on the Live servers, it's alive and well here on Extended. North has had a new life here and many new citizens to fill the streets. One more thing, Allie. There's nothing wrong with going over and playing with your friends as well. Maybe you could just take 2 days a week to hang with them. Might help chase away the blues a bit. One last thing. That station cash card I won is really going to pay off. I had not cashed it in when I heard about the triple station cash weekend coming up. So now that prize is worth $30. Procrastination can pay off at times, I guess. Best wishes, as always, and plan to keep listening. Signed, Indibuff.
I think Indibuff makes a lot of really good points in her email, as she always does. One that sticks out to me, of course, the most is how I'm right, and I'm going to frame that and hang it on my wall here.
Of course you will.
But I think she's right, you know, again, agreeing with the folks who are moving on, maybe were kind of already on their way out, and this may have been the straw that broke their back, and that's okay. You don't want folks who aren't having fun hanging around, because that unfun can be infectious at times and rub off on other players and drag the overall morale down. And I think what she's talking about, too, with respect to Extended, is that they don't have as much of that maybe unfunness sometimes that has come on to some of the Live servers that have been around the block for quite some time,
mm-hmm,
and built up that grr moments at times, or things that have chafed players' skins a little bit over so many years. So you have this this extended environment, which is very new, very fresh, and you've got a lot of new blood coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think much like a lot of folks, you get that new car smell, that new game smell I think we talked about before.
Yeah.
And people enjoy that, and that rubs off. You know, when folks are having a good time, other people start having a good time.
Yeah, when you were talking about live versus extended, I think, you know, it just sort of goes to the general vibe. I mean, people watch the level channels, and a lot of people just watch and they don't talk. And you get a sort of a vibe from the vast majority of people who talk. And if most people are negative and grouchy and cranky and dissing SOE constantly and complaining, the vibe is negative overall. Whereas on a server that's primarily going to be newer people, you know, people with fresh eyes who've never seen the world before, how many times have you... even when we did the newbie experiment, you know, we kind of tried to look with fresh eyes a little bit. I don't know. For me, I saw things a little bit fresh because we were on new characters, and I tend to forget everything about Allie when I'm playing another character. And sometimes I forget how to get from point A to point B, but that's another story. Maybe we should just cut this part out. But that whole vibe of like fresh eyes, seeing something for the first time, and positive energy, I guess, can be, like you say, infectious. So if you're surrounded by positive people, it's got to be a more pleasant experience.
Absolutely. What you say is true. Think about the day you stepped into DOV for the first time. You know,
yes.
Some of those very first quests are effectively kill 10 rats type quests, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or gopher quests, or... I think of my dailies every day, kill 6 crabs. It's the same crabs over and over again. It's the same artwork crabs from back at launch time. But because it's in DOV, I look at it with a little bit more positive attitude, because DOV, those first few days were new. It was fresh. It was exciting. It was different. So therefore, it was cooler. Now, over time, that coolness starts to wear off a little bit. Not to say that you're becoming jaded or anything like that, but it's not as fresh. It's not as exciting as it was day one. So you definitely can see that, again, even in simple as within an expansion within that same game.
Yeah, and the other thing is population. The extended server is just one server, and it's, from everything I've heard, is very, very populated, very highly populated. There are... tons of people, maybe too many people, I don't know, but it sounds like it's a really great atmosphere, and a lot of the live servers are missing or lacking that activity, especially I think since the downtime. So I think that sort of adds to the positive energy over there, you know.
Right, and thinking of that too, I would imagine, and this is just a guess, I don't know, nor have I've seen any figures to support this, but I would imagine that on extended, you have a large population like you suggest, but also a diverse population in terms of level range.
Mm-hmm.
You have players across the full spectrum where, in general, and I'm not saying exclusively, but in general,
mm-hmm.
some of the older servers like we're on, like on Unrest, the population tends to be weighted towards end game.
Right, which I think, you know, we all know that's pretty much going to be the case in an older game. But because Extended is relatively new, the free-to-play model, you're going to have a lot more diversity as far as level ranges.
Exactly. So when I think maybe you have players across that spectrum, you're getting input from across the spectrum, whereas, say, on Unrest or some of the older servers, that population is weighted towards the end. It has a more narrow view of the game because they're all focused in at one end of the game.
Right, right. One other thing that she mentions is the suggestion of a sort of a game tool allowing smaller guilds to band together. As I think a lot of our listeners have mentioned or, you know, come up with ideas, I think, that are really interesting, that might be something really cool for EQ2. Some sort of a way that the game could support sort of a cross-guild alliance, you know, rather than being supported by external resources like websites and, you know, word of mouth and whatever. I think there are a number of servers that and a number of alliances have formed over the years. They sort of do what they need to do because they have to, because the game doesn't support that need or doesn't fulfill that need. I wonder how many more alliances you would have or how many smaller guilds you could maintain if you had that sort of a tool that were in the game. I think that's a really cool idea.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I don't want to poo-poo too hardly on Indebuff's idea, but I think the challenge is that when it comes to these alliances or banding together of guilds, there is such a broad spectrum of what an alliance means or how it's going to function and that sort of stuff, that any tool that they might build beyond, say, what we have today, it'll probably never fit everybody's needs. And I think back to the old days when EQ2 players was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had guild websites through that. We had guild forums based on that were tied into in-game ranks and levels and all this. And I thought it sounded really cool. It certainly was a key selling point for me, at least initially, to pony up for those few extra services through EQ2 players with money. But I think over time we saw that, one, the caring and feeding of it wasn't there. And a lot of guilds found that it wasn't robust enough to serve all the functionality that they wanted. And I wouldn't even maybe say it was the 80-20 rule. It was probably closer to the 20-80 rule, that what it could provide. So I think while it sounds easy and it sounds good, what we have today is probably good enough. We have channels that we can create on our own, and you can talk through those. You can set up forms pretty easily externally. I don't know what tool that they could possibly come up with that would make it function any better than what we already have, and whether or not people would really use that function. Does that make sense?
It does. I see where you're coming from. I was thinking of, you know, the basic things that you would need, just the framework, the basic framework where, you know, they could provide a way to link two guilds together or link people together in an alternate fashion. So you have your primary guild and you have your secondary guild, or some sort of, there's some way to ally guilds together so that you could see who's online, because you can already do that with a guild window. How hard would it be to have like a macro guild? You know what I mean?
You could, but what if you had a channel, you could just do who all, what's in this channel, and see who is everybody online. Now, you don't get all the functionality of level and class and trade skill and class and all that sort of stuff, or mm-hmm. status donated or that sort of stuff. But the basics are there. That framework, or a real simple version of it is. I think back to the old LFG window, and when that came in, I thought, oh, great, we finally have an LFG window. This will make making groups so much easier.
Yeah.
It came in too late.
Right.
People had already established systems and built their own, and I'm using air quotes, tools.
Right, right.
Which was shouting at level channel, really.
Exactly, right? Which is what people ended up doing anyway. Nobody really – well, I shouldn't say nobody uses the LFG channel. I don't. I've seen people with the LFG tag up, but I don't know.
It's an extreme minority when you see it. It almost sticks out when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I probably see looking for work far more than I see looking for group tags on people's heads.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point, but I think it's a good idea if it's an easy thing to do. Maybe not. Maybe it's a little too late, but I think it's a cool idea.
I certainly think it's a very good idea, and maybe if you were designing something from the ground up, a new game today, you could put that on the design spec. I just think maybe for EverQuest 2, its time has passed and people have already invented solutions because we didn't have something. And to put something in at this point, I don't know if they'd get a lot of use out of it. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, speaking from just you, you're in a guild that's active, and I'm in a guild of basically the same 3-4 people logging in at random times who it's a miracle if our ships pass in the night. So I can see where the suggestion is coming from, and it looks pretty good to me. Anyway, thank you, Indibuff, for that email. Always give us something interesting to talk and think about.
Okay, our next email is from Sprouts, also over there on the Freeport server. And Sprouts writes in the subject line, structured grinding. So here's Sprouts' email. Great podcast as always. The Titanic bit was great, and Allie trying to think of something nice to say about my somewhat random nature was always fun as well. I'll try to keep the random in check. Straight to business. We've had some trade skill changes, and for the most part, I'm okay with the changes. I will, however, point out some challenges I'm having. Writs. They really aren't quests. They could be better described as structured grinding. What exactly are you questing? Well, I'm on a wondrous quest to make a list of items that I may or may not be timed on. Doesn't really say quest to me, but moving on. If you're going to make trade skill gain based on trade skill quests, you should have a lot more actual trade skill quests. I thought the level 20 butcher block trade skill quests was great. Still think there should be a couple more smaller ones to go along with it, but overall it was great. You get some rares, a mount that helps with harvesting, and access to buy all of the level 20 advanced books. Now that I'm working my way into the 30s, I went out to find the level 30 trade skill quests. I found it in Steamfont. It was going along well until it was all of a sudden complete. Then I had a couple of rares to show for it. Seems a bit like a side quest rather than a made trade skill quest. And then, when it ended, it didn't point you towards anything for level 40, like the level 20 quest did. It pointed you towards Steamfont. Anyways, I don't mind them counting writs as quests so that you get the XP bonus, but we need some real trade skill quests. And if I'm completely mistaken, and there are trade skill quests that I'm missing, please let me know, because they are not apparent in-game. Good hunting, Sprouts, and some random characters that make dollar sign hit.
I think you're supposed to count that dollar sign as an S, and he was trying to be.
Oh, okay. Well, he shouldn't be so literal, because he screws me up a lot when he does stuff like this.
Yeah. It's easy to do. It's easy to do.
It's easy to confuse poor Delmon, yes.
Exactly. Well, Sprouts mentions the Trade Skill Quest series, and I believe those quests people had commented since the changing of the Pristine Combines, taking that out. I believe they have added a bunch of stuff, have they not?
Yes, they have. I know most recently they added some more writs, unfortunately, for some of the lower levels where you go from questing and that ends and it doesn't get you into the next series of quests. But he makes a good point, you know, what are writs? Are they really quests? I do agree with him 101%. They are structured grinding.
I agree. I agree, too. It's unfortunate because it didn't used to be. Now, this is going to sound like one of those, the same thing we usually do, which is, back in my day, blah, 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 uphill both ways in the snow, right? Well, there used to be subcombines, and it was so much easier because, you know, you were leveling based on, you would have to do all the different subcombines. And then before that, it was interdependency, and you were working towards your trade skill society and yada, yada, yada. It's just evolved. And I think it's going to continue evolving because the game is changing all the time. And it's not a static thing. It's going to keep evolving and changing based on what the player base wants, what the industry is doing, what SOE resources are, what, you know, interest levels are, I guess. So I think they fill in the blanks when they see blanks happen or when people point out blanks to them. So I would suggest when anybody feels like there is something that you don't like, and what, you know, this whole concept of structure grinding, I think that's a perfect feedback/feedback remark to say, this is great and all, you know, I'm not complaining, but it's more like structure grinding. It's not so much a quest. I mean, they give you a little bit of a reason why you're doing it. You can tell by the title, and they're cute little titles of the quests, but they're not really quests.
Back in my day, Sprouts, like Allie says, it was uphill both ways trade skilling. You don't know how good you kids have it these days. Get off my lawn with your workstations.
Now, he's absolutely right. It is structured grinding, and I agree. There's a little bit of lore story, like you're making these items for the city that you live in to equip the guard or something, or sell stuff for the city. So that's the story as to why you're making these things. And again, not to sound old school, back in the day, all you had was doing combines. We had, I don't think, any quests with trade skilling other than that original one on Newbie Island where you learned how to move things around, and you made a tin cup maybe or something. That was the end of trade skilling. And there was these one or two random oddball places, like the Golden Acorn quest, where you actually made something.
Ever make the Golden Acorn?
I think I might have. Maybe I just got the recipe and never used it, and that was the reward or something.
Yeah.
Making the Golden Acorn.
Tree within a tree.
Was that the name of the quest?
I believe it was.
Okay. I don't know where I just pulled Golden Acorn from.
I don't remember tree within a tree. Maybe because I was deleted off my alts because I don't give a damn about the Golden Acorn because I never made it. I don't even know what it is.
It's true. Not to go more old school on you. How good we have it today versus back in my day. Back in my day, advanced trade skill books, you didn't buy them.
No, they weren't even easy to recognize. They had these crazy names. Remember the crazy names?
Yes, and they were all drops at one point, I think. Every one of them was a drop. And I remember being in groups going, hey, could I please have that? I'm a weaponsmith. Could I please have that? And it's like for level like 22 or something. Like I'm missing like all the other ones, but I'll have 22. Because on the broker, they're like worth hundreds of gold, right? Because they were extremely rare back in the day, I think.
100 gold is actually called a plateau, but that's okay. There. And this is back when rares weren't marked with the sparkly.
Oy. They had their own icon. Didn't they have regular icons or something?
Yeah, and we had like Excel spreadsheets with, you know, all of the names of all these books and what they contained and where they dropped from. And you would try to go farm them and scribe them to have the complete set. And, oh, man, and they used to go for so much on the broker.
What I will say, what I do like about the writs is they are profitable. You get money for doing them. And whatever you make, you're rewarded with the cost of your fuels back. So as long as you're pack ponying your own rares or farming your own raws through harvesting, you can't lose money doing writs. And the payout in terms of XP for completing a writ is enormous by today's standards. It's the fastest way for me, especially because of all the veteran bonuses I am getting from previous trade skill alts that I've got to max level. For me, just standing at the loom and making stuff right now is how I'm power leveling the tailor effectively just by doing writs. Everything is in a small compact area. The fuel is next to the guy who gives the writs, which is right next to the clipboard, which is right next to the loom. I don't have to leave a single room. Other than to go to the banker to get my stuff from Delmon, who's got the pack pony and can hand it over. So I think as you have more alts, trade skilling becomes a lot easier because you start doing it faster. I find for me, at least right now, doing the quests, I've certainly done them all on Delmon, and as they've been coming back into the game, as even though they're beneath me in terms of level, I've gone back and done them anyways for the dialogue and to have fun doing them. On alts, I tend to just go with the grinding because I find it so much more effective. When I'm doing the quests, I got to run around. They may have me run to the other side of the zone to harvest something and then run back with it. So to me, once it comes to alts, it's grind, 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 writ, 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 as fast as I can do them.
Yeah, I started doing quests on my alts and realized very quickly two things about that. One, very slow, a lot of running around, taking things for granted in terms of not being able to harvest on alts. So that is how I got so sidetracked on getting the Harvester cloak done on alts. Because I don't like to have to switch characters all the time. And I have my little personal harvest depot in my house with all my own raws and stuff. Yeah, I agree. I have a tendency to want to do the quest on my alts, but then I quickly realize that it takes a lot longer to finish them, and then you don't really get as much XP. So I end up going back to grinding because it's certainly the most effective way to level.
Exactly, especially on alts. I think, though, if you're a new player coming through, they're good to do because I think it's fun to read the story. You get to see interesting places, meet new people, that sort of stuff. So I think for the first time, yes, go through them. As alts, again, I think we're both saying, yeah, we'll just do the grinding. If you are confused, though, as to where to go next, and I will say you're right, at times they kind of just leave you hanging and you're not necessarily sure where to go next. And that might be something that the team could hopefully maybe look at someday of how to tie these together a little bit better, is to Google for EQ2 trade skill timeline. I believe both XAM and EQ2 Wiki have wonderful timelines of where the quests all are, what major quest hubs there are for trade skills, and when they come into play. So you know when your questing ends and maybe your structured grinding, I love that term, begins for trade skilling, and when you can maybe stop your grinding and because you've leveled enough and can go back to questing if you want to do that sort of stuff and where to head. I think you'll find some of the later expansions, like TSO, like Sentinel's Fate, and especially DOV, you'll see more quests with better storyline and better flow to them and that are rewarding, I think, more XP than some of the lower ones where those quests were really, they were backfilled in. During those expansions, the trade skill quests were plugged in during the development cycle and not necessarily stuck in after the fact.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. So we have another email from a new listener, or at least a new writer, Chala, on the Unrest server, writes, subject line, love you, Allie. Guess you too, Delmon.
Aw.
I like that one. Hi, guys. Chala here, 90 Coercer Unrest. Delmon may remember me as Tali the Ranger. I actually remember Tali the Ranger. I listened to EQ Tuesday for years, and being real-life friends with Jethel, I knew the reason why the Delmon made this podcast. So in enjoying listening to the Delmon, I like how he keeps calling you the Delmon.
I do too.
I'm sure you do. So in enjoying listening to the Delmon, I knew when this podcast started, but because of real-life issues, I had not been able to listen to any of them yet. Well, recently I had to move from Arizona to Virginia. That's quite a move. And was trying to find enough podcasts to listen to pass the time. I remembered EQ2 Talk and downloaded all 23 episodes up till this point. Episode 8 is still missing. The drive time from Arizona to Virginia is 39 hours, and between your show and others, the hours flew by. It was interesting to see how you both got better working together from episode to episode. Just want to say, great show so far. I think I still have 4 more episodes to catch up on. One tip for Delmon as a fellow player that likes to go old school from time to time and go first-person view, as an Arisai, I hate peering through the grass as well. In your display options under the Advanced tab, there is an animation flora setting. If you open that, then click off the flora, and that will get rid of all the tall grass. It makes seeing shinies easier, too. Again, love your show. Keep it up. Signed, Chala Can't Mez This Coercer. From Arcane Sanctum on Unrest. Thank you, Chala. And Tali the Ranger, I remember seeing you. You probably don't remember me. In the Alliance, the Operatives Alliance.
Ah, yes, an old Alliance. It was funny. We were just talking about that a few moments ago. that used to operate on Unrest for raiding purposes for some of the smaller guilds.
Yes, it's how me and Del met.
Well, that's how you met me.
That's right. That's how I met you. Actually, I met you. I learned about you long before the operatives. Would you like to know how I learned of you?
Sure. Tell us how you learned of the Delmon.
The Delmon? I didn't know the Delmon as co-host of the EQ Tuesday show. I had no idea who that was. What I knew was that guy named Delmon above me on the top 10 questers on the EQ2 Players website on Unrest, and I was gunning for his position.
So you've been stalking me long before any of this ever came about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have no qualms about saying I've been stalking you for at least 6 years.
Well, then I have a secret to admit. And hey, here it is, our anniversary show. So I think it's the honeymoon is over, as they say, right? It's been a year. Let's put all our cards on the table. I knew exactly who you were too, because I was doing the same exact thing.
Awesome.
Back when EQ2 Players was EQ2 Players and it had function, it had the top questers, amongst other things that you could report on, the top money people, although it never showed us how much money we had, or top members in a guild or highest DPS hit or something like that. But quest completed was one of them too. And at some point, once Ever Quest 2 came around and I was playing it, I really got in this mode of thinking, you know what? Quests is something I really want to work hard on. This was maybe when I was in my early teens, level-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to try to work on every quest.
Yes.
And I found this spreadsheet that this guy was publishing.
Yes.
Mind you, weekly. It was an Excel document that
yes.
he published weekly. And I will tell you a story. I would download that spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Now, there were quests in there that I couldn't do because they were for another class or something mm-hmm. like that. So I would get that spreadsheet, and I would start going through them and deleting those ones. So I knew that I wasn't eligible for them. I actually deleted them out of the spreadsheet. I would spend the bulk of Sunday afternoon, Sunday
yes.
evening, going through that spreadsheet, looking for things that have changed, deleting things I couldn't do, and trying to formulate my to-do list.
Yes.
And being upset that there were three quests on Newbie Island that I didn't know about, that I could
yes.
not get back to, that were drops.
Yes,
I think
the turtle fish, one. The crab, that's what it was.
There was a fish one out there too, I think.
Yeah.
That really ticked me off.
Yep.
And I was upset about that, and I said, I'm never going to let that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that started me down the road of being what I now call a hardcore quester and working hard to try to do all the quests that are in the game. I think I've since gotten a little bit away from that, not too far, a little bit away from that, because I feel I've been screwed by the man.
Yes, I know what you mean.
When the man puts in quests after the fact that I can't go back and get, like he'll put writs
in. Adornments.
Adornments, writs, trade skilling things that I'm blocked either by faction or by level from. And because we don't have chronomancy. I thought chronomancing was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Probably to one of the days when I literally raced home from work so I could log into the game was the day when they made it so that gray mobs would drop mm-hmm. chests that
yes.
had quest starters. Because
yes.
prior to that, they had to be green.
Yes.
So if you out-leveled that mob, you couldn't get a quest starter that he potentially dropped. And back in the day, back in the old day, back when I played hardcore, gray mobs might have dropped quest starters, and that was the only way to get these things.
Yes.
So level locking became incredibly important. Going over spreadsheets, I killed many a sapling in printing out spreadsheet upon spreadsheet
yes.
of those quests.
I did that too, and I remember that spreadsheet, and I used to download that sucker every weekend. I would update it. I didn't delete the lines, but there was actually, in Excel, you can use a code where you could sort by code and you could show. So I would do it that way. And he in a later version, put instructions on how to do that. But, man, I spent hours upon hours and upon hours updating that spreadsheet. and saving a new version of it and then reformatting and getting my ducks in a row until I was done. I would not leave a zone until I'd gotten everything there was.
And I remember, too, taking that spreadsheet, cross-referencing it with 10-ton hammer.
Yes.
Game pressure.
Yes.
Zam.
Which was Alakazam at the time.
Alakazam at the time, you're right. The wiki, I don't even know, had it come around yet or was still kind of in its infancy.
Yep.
Guild sites, Google. Man, I was looking every way because there was no resources today. I mean, it's really boiled down to Zam and the wiki. And Zam has internals data so that we can actually look for drop rates and that sort of stuff, exactly where mobs are and what exactly is on their entire loot table.
Loot DB and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, Loot DB, yes.
EQ2 links, yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
But back then, there was no mentoring.
No, there was not.
There was no Chrono mentoring for certain. There was no player mentoring at all. You remember when mentoring came in? That was a big deal, and you had to have multiple hotbars because your stuff didn't scale down. So nobody wanted to mentor in the beginning.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, Ellie.
Pain. There was no quest sharing.
Oh, no. Quest sharing, no.
No.
Let me ask you this. Did you ask players, would you like do a who-all for certain levels when mentoring finally did come in to find if you could get somebody to come to the zone to you so you could mentor to them to see if the NPC would talk to you at certain levels?
I never did that because I am not that type of person. I'm too shy.
Well, when it came to quests,
if you believe that.
When it came to quests, there was the para, there was a paladin out in Tarnica somewhere with his faithful squire, and he wouldn't talk to you. So I remember inviting people into the zone and running them over there so they would stand near me and I could try to talk to this guy. He still didn't talk to me. It's long since changed so that I think level is not important to him. But back in the day, it was easy to outlevel NPC content too. I mean, heck, we didn't. If you remember too, Allie, more old school, we did not have feathers. You ran around
town.
No,
there were no feathers.
You ran around town and you hailed everybody.
Everybody, even passersby, even those like random NPCs that have no purpose, but with these googly names that are like, you know, some Natalie something or other, and they just stand around doing nothing. And they never actually are involved in anything. They're just random NPCs. You talk to every single NPC in the zone.
And then I'd talk to them again because maybe now all of a sudden
right.
in the level range that they'll give me what I need or want.
Exactly.
The good old days. Well, thanks for that memory trip, Tolly.
Level locking to get writs.
Yes. Yes.
Trying to get the scroll bearer. Oh, my God. How long I stayed locked at level until I could get the scroll bearer. That was a painful one for me. That took forever.
There is still one I'm missing from the Farat.
Oh, the Farat.
The robe. It drops off those purple people eaters on the...
Yes. But you know what? It does drop off of the lizards, too.
I've tried killing them, too.
I'm telling you, Del, this was so long ago. We were all looking for it. All the Monday night group was looking for it. And this was back when it was just the three of us. And I mentored down. I Corona mentored down. And I was doing something else. I stopped looking for the robe. Do you remember when that first was in? It was a rock.
Yes, you could click on something.
It was a spawn. It was a ground spawn rock that spawned only once in a while. And it was on a timer or it was something like that. The robe, was it the robe of the invokers, the name of the thing?
I think it might be, yes.
I remember a person in my guild camping that rock. And it was like, well, what are you doing today? She's camping the rock. Okay, I guess we'll just not count on her for a group. Because she would sit there for hours on end waiting for this rock to spawn. Then they changed it at some point to be a drop.
And the rock went away.
The rock went away. And I camped that rock after they changed it because I didn't read patch notes. Big mistake.
It's funny. We look at something like that, camping a rock. And we used to buy more accounts because we thought that was an awesome implementation.
Well, the memory of it is heartwarming now.
It is absolutely heartwarming now. It was full of tears when you were doing it.
But it's heartwarming. There's so much love in this game and so much. There's so many wonderful memories. It's like thinking about camp.
That one time at band camp?
With all the sand in your shoes and all the crap and the moldy towels and the, you know, skunks in the cabin and all the, you know, sharing bunks with all these girls and everybody's like all over each other. There's no room to move and having to do chores and scrub the toilets and all this crap, right? All the horrible stuff and the spiders that would get into your clothes and all those things go away when you think about the good stuff. And like, you know, yeah, you could think about that one time I found that yucky spider in my towel, but it's a warm memory. It's a heartwarming memory somehow. Right?
I agree. Oh, yes.
Am I off in left field here?
No, but I do think we need to rein this conversation back into EQ2Talk.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's a wonderful road to go down. Memory Lane is a fantastic place to go. And it is summertime and it is camp time. But I think we should bring it back to maybe now talking about what we've been up to recently as opposed to what we were doing 25 years ago. So what have you been up to recently in game?
Well, I haven't really been playing Allie lately. She's too depressing for me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, okay, well, what do I have to do? I know there are daily things that I can do, but all I'm doing is doing daily things that I know there's nothing I'm waiting to do. Like, I used to do daily stuff. I'd squeeze it in when I had a chance before I knew all the, like, groupers would get on. And as soon as they got on, I'd, like, keep my ears open to see if there were any groups going or when the tank logs in, I'd, oh, hey, you getting something going? Or, you know, whatever. There's nothing at the other end now. It's just doing the solo junk, which, it gets boring when there's nothing else at the other end of it. If I'm just killing time waiting for someone to log in, that's fine. But if that's all I have, it's kind of boring. So I've been avoiding Allie like the plague and playing alts. And I have to say, of all the alts, I am surprised. The one that I rolled that my friends told me I should roll, I only rolled this tune because my friends told me you need to roll this tune, is a Shadow Knight. I'm like, well, because I have a tank, a very low Berserker that I started way back when, but I never play her because the Berserker kind of has gone through so many ups and downs and ins and outs, and I never really learned how to play her. So all with all the changes and everything, the back and forth from day one of the game, I really have no idea what I'm doing. Well, the Shadow Knight, I found, is really fun. I never thought tanks could be fun. The Shadow Knight, maybe because it's a different type of tank, it's way fun. And I've been dragging other tunes along with the Shadow Knight. I have a Brigand that I've been dragging along because Brigands are not easy to solo. At least my loser Brigand is not easy to solo. So I've been dragging her along with the Shadow Knight and mentoring and just like leeching XP basically. But the Shadow Knight is really fun. I'm enjoying her a lot.
So what level is your Shadow Knight now?
Well, I just started her a couple months ago. She's 45 already.
Okay.
And I shelved her in the beginning. Like, I got to 20, and then I kind of shelved her for a while. And then when we had that bonus XP a little while ago,
yep,
I just couldn't stop. And I was literally, by the end, I was getting, like, 1 or 2 XP per kill. Very small amount. But I couldn't stop because she was so much fun to play.
Well, that's cool, you know, like you say, you know, because Allie's maybe a little emo at the moment for you.
Oh, yes, she is emo.
It's nice to have that distraction, and that's, I've always believed that's what alts are there for.
Yeah.
To do something different. We still enjoy playing EverQuest 2, but it's something different, and it's probably a very different play style from having played the Ranger day in and day out. Tanking and doing things different, not necessarily tanking, but maybe at least soloing with it. So it's a different fighting. You're up close. You're swinging. You have different combat arts and whatnot that you're using. So
it's the AEs, let's be honest. Okay. It's all about the
right, ACs. But which is very different from your Ranger, which doesn't have those sort of things.
No,
right?
she does, but the Shatter Knight is the best alt to solo with that I've had. The Monk was close, but as soon as I went from the Monk to the Shatter Knight, it was like, oh, night and day. This is totally awesome.
So you're rejuvenating that way through doing something a little different. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
So what have I been up to? Well, I'm still on the Delmon. And the other week, I don't know what dawned on me or why I thought this was a good idea. But I was looking at my collections tab, and I'm like, you know, I still got some TSO shinies out there. I wonder. I mean, there's been some changes to mechanics. You know, I'm down to just needing wisdom and stamina. I don't need all those other things to be successful. I don't want to use the word nerf, but they've channeled us into one play style. So I said, let me give this a shot. My wisdom's real jacked now. I've been getting a few pieces from raiding DOV. So let me give this a shot. So I went over to Obelisk there in Moors, the Obelisk of A, and I said, let me give this a shot. I mentored down, of course, mentored down to 80, went in, zoned in. So the mobs were all 80. I unmentored, made myself 90. So they're green. They're still green. But they're all heroics. And let's be honest, this is probably the softest, the kindest, gentlest of the instances from the Shadow Odyssey. And I still need some shinies in there, specifically one damn blue one. Mm-hmm. And I started fighting. And lo and behold, I was not dead. And I killed two groups, which I accidentally pulled because apparently Templars, this body pulling is a new thing to me as a healer. So I had to learn, well, I just can't, you know, fire off a nuke into this crowd. So I started body pulling, and I started doing okay. I mean, I had to heal a little bit along the way, but I wasn't like healing, fighting to keep myself alive. I was doing quite well, and I was able to get halfway through the zone. I'm like, oh my goodness, here comes the first named. Well, this is when it's all going to be exposed for the fraud that I am. But I managed to beat it. And that was that big giant, I don't know what you call them, void fellows with the crab claw hands things.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, I'm pretty uber here. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. So then I go down the hallway, engage the bouncy guy. Well, that didn't work out so good. So I kind of ran into a problem where certain fight mechanics can defeat me because I have one style of play, which is run up and start hitting it with a hammer and then start nuking it down and then heal myself along the way as I with repent as my health is going down. But so I know you've brought over Allie and helped me knock off the bouncy guy a little bit. If it wasn't for that one mechanic where I had to be bouncing, I could solo that whole zone. So now I'm feeling pretty damn good about myself. I'm pretty damn awesome. So I started venturing out, and now I'm soloing Everfrost. Same thing, mentoring it to 80 and then un-mentoring when I get in there. I'm doing Everfrost zones, and I finished all the shinies that I needed in there. And now I'm over to doing the ones over in Loping Plains, the Mistmore Manor and Evernight Abbey.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty kick-ass, Allie, right now, and I'm feeling pretty damn good about myself. With the DOV change into mechanics and the gear that I have, and I've been getting a little bit more all the time, I'm able to solo most of these zones. Now, I will admit there are a few named encounters that I can't do just because of the mechanics.
The guy who stands on the little, you have to take a platform over.
That's in Raven Scale, and I have not done that one.
Okay, because I'm trying to picture how you're going to do that.
I would not do that. I would not be able to do him because, again, that's one of those mechanic fights where the mechanic defeats me.
The crown dude.
Again, haven't been in that one yet. I've just been focusing on the other two. I mean, so I have to say there are limitations for me.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the concept of a Templar taking on heroic multi-target encounters is pretty damn cool to me.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, and that's not to say Templars don't do DPS. Traditionally, we are on the lower end of the spectrum of being able to do DPS and handle encounters like that.
Well, you don't have a lot of spells that do damage, and you are a really slow caster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're limited with in terms of your damage output as far as damage output as you know, as opposed to healing ability.
Correct, correct. But I can do enough of it. Mm-hmm. And I would think in the past, in the good old days, I would have spent more time healing myself to stay alive during those encounters as opposed to fighting. And now that odometer has turned a little bit, I'm mm-hmm. now more able to invest in fighting than I am in terms of keeping myself alive. So I'm able to beat these encounters. Now, again, there are ones with power drains and that sort of stuff where I can't generate enough DPS before I'm completely power drained, and I do get stuck. But I'm able to farm 5 out of 6, 6 out of 6 in some cases, of the shinies in that zone, and that's what I need to be able to do because that's what I'm doing, and then I'm trying to finish off some shiny collections. So I've been really impressed. Certainly have started with the easier ones, and I'm moving my way forward again. Started in the Obelisk, then I went over to Everfrost, which I thought was kind of an easier one, and now I'm into the vampire ones there over in Loping Plains. So
I'm really impressed by the Loping Plains ones. Like, because a lot of people can do the Everfrost ones. The Loping Plains ones are a little harder.
Yeah, and I do have a few, not to say many, I do have a few undead Bane things.
Yeah.
And one of my nukes is double damage against undead. So I have a little bit of advantage there. I'm certainly not going to say I'm going to be way better than somebody else, but I do have a little bit of advantage. And I have even started, I originally started out fighting one-handed with a shield, but now I've been finding, you know what, I've been going two-hander and doing a lot more damages because of, again, all the bonuses off the DOV two-handers.
Wow.
And not needing to worry about blocking so much. And I might need to heal a little bit more than I was before, but not too much. Not again so much that I'm healing myself through the fight. Now I'm fighting with the occasional heal.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And let me know when you get to the Common Lands ones. Are you doing those solo?
I plan to. I need one more shiny.
I'm nervous because those are multi-mob. I mean, those are, you know, multi-mob encounters.
Absolutely. I may find, remember the we talked in the past about the wall?
Yeah.
This, I may find that the Common Lands is the wall for me, and certainly Guck, I don't know if I could handle Guck either because Guck was always 80. So, again, I'm also mentoring down and moving the mobs down a little bit and unmentoring.
If you get to Palace of Ferzul, let me know.
Yeah, I don't see myself...
Because I'll be bowing down.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going that far, but I have to say I'm impressed as far as I have gone. I'm impressed
pretty impressed
myself
too.
About that.
I'm pretty impressed.
And I do think, like you're maybe suggesting, I think there is a wall out there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I don't think it has to do with skill or individual ability. I think it has to do with, like you say, mechanics of a particular encounter. You know, the general gist of a zone, is it a single target mob, small groups, like in the Obelisk there's only like 3 or 4, you know, down arrow mobs. Whereas in the Common Land zones, there's, you know, what, 8 or something to a group?
Right. I think
it
of
seems
that,
like so many.
Is it Caverns of the Afflicted?
Yeah.
Where you have to knock down the group and move forward, knock down that group, move forward.
Yes.
I don't think I'll be able to do that. I have to pick and choose. I'm not invincible. I'm certainly not Super Templar out there. But... I'm able to do stuff, and I'm like, hey, this is really cool. Eventually, I'm going to get that one shiny. Laws of statistics say I got to get that one last shiny that I need. I've got tons of other things that I don't need. But eventually, I'll get that last one, and I can check that one off the list. So that's what I've been up to, and it's been a positive experience for me. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that is fun.
I fear now I'll find out next game update 61, Templar DPS has been completely reduced.
Right, because you're just so OP, Del.
Yeah.
Give me a break. So you talked about that one missing shiny or whatever. I still am missing one shiny from, boy, what was the Desert of Flames? If you can believe it.
Oh, wow. That's
one of the mummy one of the mummy bandages.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember spending a lot of time in DOF running around looking for shinies, a lot of time.
I think I'm going to have to make a concerted effort because it's the one I have left from there that I'm telling you, I really believe that it's somehow fallen off of the loot table or the shiny table because I never see it ever, ever, ever on the broker. I mean, not that there's a ton of people in, you know, Desert of Flame zones, but... I guess I need to put in the effort to really go look for it and go park my tune over in whatever, living tombs or something. Preserved arm wrapping, in case you're wondering.
The other option is to take your bags of poo, your bones, and your water.
Been doing it.
Yeah, that's tough because the collections now, there are so many of them.
Yep.
It's probably, what, like 1 in 1,000 shot? But you never know. Yeah. You never know. Can't win unless you don't play.
Exactly. Gives me something to shoot for. So how about, what's your least favorite thing this week? Do you have a least favorite?
I do have a least favorite thing, and you're probably going to laugh at me because it's so petty. I'll admit, this is like almost insignificant, but for some reason, it's that grain of sand in my shoe. With the last game update 60, a vendor disappeared from Kino's Harbor.
Oh, no.
I don't remember his name. He's long since forgotten.
Oh.
He was the vendor. You know when you go down to see the broker in Kino's Harbor? There was a little tent, and a guy was selling stuff there, and he would say that his supplies were fresh, but they only came in once a week. And then you would reply, that's not very fresh. That's the vendor that I always use to sell stuff, because I would sell to him and then run down to the broker or hit him on the way back from the broker. He and his tent have disappeared, and that saddens me.
Wait a minute. The one on the way to the broker? Because there were two city merchants under the tent.
Just to the left of them.
Okay.
There was a dude in a tent.
Okay. Well, just so you know, the city merchants, those two guys, the little gnome there, and then the taller dude or girl, those city merchants that sell the doors, they give the maximum coin for your crap.
Well, I've been going to them now, but like I said, my vendor, the guy I went to.
Your guy?
He was my guy. And how amazing is that? I noticed that one vendor in one tent is gone.
That's pretty sad.
And it was. So as I said,
you know what though, Del? It's a down economy. So
maybe he had to move on. Yes. Maybe he got run out of business by the city merchants in Kinos now that the Rakongas have moved in.
Taxes went up too high. The rent went up. I mean, come on.
Are you saying that the rent is too damn high in Kinos? Because I'm with that. The rent is too damn high. All right, what is your least favorite thing now that we know how petty I can be?
My least favorite thing this week is Ferrot quests.
How so?
I have to do them again.
Oh, on the Shadow Knight.
Exactly.
And those are some old school style quests, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. They're not the kinder, gentler, friendlier quests that we see in some of the newer expansions.
Correct. You have to run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in some cases. Yeah. So how about a favorite thing this week, Del? What do you got?
All right, so here's what I got for my favorite thing. And again, it's pretty damn petty, but I'm pretty damn proud of it. It's buying DOV raid loot. Now, let me not say buy. Bidding on DOV raid loot for DKP minimum. Nothing better than coming in with that 5 DKP bid and winning it. Can't go any lower. I love undercutting the economy with my DKP. And I've been doing that a lot, mainly because everybody else has all this stuff and I'm the only one left bidding on it. But I still like bidding the minimum and getting it and having a stockpile of DKP that I'm probably never going to use.
That you're probably going to lose when your guild folds.
Don't say that. Do not say that my guild is folding. I don't want them to hear that.
I'm sorry. It's your luck, Del. It's totally your luck to stick around in a guild. The guild folds around you. You're the last man standing, and you have to turn the lights off, and you have like 500 DKP under your belt.
It's like dying in the desert with a canteen full of water. I cling to it, and then as I watch the world fall around apart me, I still have all this DKP, and I'm like, damn it, I should have spent it on stuff. Now I got nothing to show for it.
Exactly.
But don't jinx my guild.
I apologize.
I'm probably the jinx, but go ahead. And what's your most favorite this week?
Ironically, Ferrot quests.
So you're pulling the old switcheroo on us here.
Yes, because I'll tell you why. Because there is the whole back and forth, which makes it my least favorite. But it's also my favorite because all the little quest giver guys are all in the same area and you can level up really quick by just, you know, banging them all out. And you're kind of able to, you don't have to do a linear thing. You can do one and do whatever you want. And then there's so many mobs around there. And it's sort of like going down memory lane a little bit. I mean, it's been so long since I did any quests in the Farad. I actually really love the Farad, even though it looks like Massachusetts.
All righty. So time for Are You Smarter?
Yes. Are You Smarter?
So for folks who haven't listened to us before, and I don't know why, you've waited 25 episodes to join us, but that's okay. So this little segment here is a little bit of a game show. Allie's got some categories of questions, and she's going to offer those to me, and I'm going to pick the one that I think I have the best chance of answering. At that point, I can also decide whether or not to go easy mode or challenge mode for even greater prizes. But with those greater prizes come greater risk. So the questions are harder to earn those greater prizes. And if I win, what do I win? Okay, that's what I win.
You win a bag of poop.
A bag of poop.
No, I'm sorry. A bag of poop is actually kind of valuable. But...
those are very valuable in game because yes. Combine those with a bone and a water and you can get a shiny.
You said bone. And shaft.
And poop.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so Allie, what are our categories for this week's Are You Smarter Than a Delmon?
Your first category is Add It Up.
Add It Up. All right.
Much like the Violent Femme song. The second song is a second song. Your second category is Medicine for the Soul, which you've been avoiding for many weeks.
And I'm going to continue that streak of avoiding. And I want to add it up this week, Allie.
Okay, you're going for add it up. I thought you were going to avoid the math.
Normally I do. But for some reason, medicine sounds like a healing question, and now I'm a DPS class, as we were just talking.
Well, ironically, it has nothing to do with math.
Oh, very good. I need to choose, though, whether or not I want to go...
normal or challenge mode.
Yes. And this week, I have to be honest, I'm not feeling confident.
Okay.
I'm weak at the moment. I feel weak. I had a challenging day today, geocaching. So I am going to go easy mode so that I don't have to work so hard.
Okay, normal mode. You have to get 5 out of 7 correct.
Okay.
Give the name of the boss mob based on the name of the ads.
Okay, so you're going to give me the name of the ads.
Correct.
I'm going to wait for folks at home to shout out the answer, and then I'm going to say that answer.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick in sort of random order.
Okay.
Dry Ice Patch.
Don't know.
Ether Cloud. No, this is all the same.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dry Ice Patch. Ether Cloud. Scorch.
Don't know.
You got to think about it.
All right. I'm. Can I pass and come back?
I suppose. I can't believe you're passing so quickly.
I want to warm up here.
A Fearling Tot.
I know this one.
I know you do.
Pass.
Okay. Wow. Those were the easy ones.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Here's the easiest one. A Flaming Drought.
The Overking.
What's his name? But I'll give you Overking.
I'm going to butcher it, so bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Overking Bathazid.
Nah, that's okay. Selrak Dizok.
Okay. You know who I'm talking about.
You're correct.
All right.
Yeah, it's Selrak. I know you know because I was there, and I know you know the Flaming Droughts.
Oh, I'm well aware of the Flaming Droughts. Somebody get on those things now.
Yes, I know. Okay. A Greater Death Knight.
That's got to be a fair encounter. No, it's the dragon, I think. Oh, boy. It's that ghostly dragon up in Kingdom of Sky in Tenebrous Tangle, whose name I don't know. Pass.
Large Tomb Vermin.
The Rat Queen.
Oh, how did you get that?
Because I remember all those books.
Wow, I am totally impressed. You got one.
In Vermin Sny, a zone that probably nobody goes to anymore.
Very good. I'm very impressed.
That's old school.
One of the hardest ones to get, I think, because it's like a level 20 or maybe not even that. Level 19, 18, something like that.
Yeah, something
really
like
that. Low.
Yeah.
Wow. Arena Champion Krask.
That's in Majdul. In one of the houses. Coin Truth or Blades. And I believe it's Truth. But that's about as far as I know, I think. Pass.
There's only one left.
All right.
A Minor Void Savage.
Anash Desul.
Okay, that was really close.
Close is in the same zone?
The same zone, yes. Although I don't know for sure if Anash Desul has. I mean, it might be a Minor Void Savage might be a little generic. I know that this ad is on a particular name that I'm thinking of, and she could have them too.
Okay.
So that might be right, but just not the right I was looking for.
Then my other guess is going to be Pentaclipse, Ultraclipse?
No, those were the Void Lamias.
Oh, whatever. All right. Well, then let me try another named up there. How about Tithys Tinzok?
Yes, Tithys Tinzok. Drop the crazy pink pants.
I hated that encounter. That encounter was a cure. That was the pinnacle of that expansion's cure fest.
It was a cure fest.
And you needed like every type
everything.
Of healer to
and you
cover
needed, like,
all of them.
Nine healers. Yes. Well, I remember we were running with nine healers. I was like, how, you got to be kidding. You can't tell me we need nine healers for this.
You kind of did with all that curing because that was old
you
school.
You didn't.
When that was because back then, healers could only cure a certain thing.
I know. I remember it was broken down. So you had to have, we were running with eight. And there was, when we had seven, it was like a real challenge, but it could be done. It just was everybody had to be exactly on target. And those calls had to be accurate. So that was fun. So you got two. You got the Rat Queen and Tithys Tinzok.
All right. So let's go back to the beginning then. And let's try this again. So who was the first one?
I don't have them in order. So I think the first one I mentioned was Dry Ice Patch, Aether Cloud, and Scorch. Scorch should give it away.
My guess is, and this is going to be a wild one, Talondor.
No.
All right.
You don't remember Scorch?
Sounds familiar, but I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, well, what do you think of when you think of these names? Dry Ice Patch. What does that kind of represent?
Ice.
Elemental.
Elemental.
Aether Cloud kind of makes you think of like a Noxious, doesn't it?
Elemental. Okay, Elemental and Noxious.
Okay. Scorch is sort of a flamey elemental.
Yep.
Like a fiery little circle thing. Like you don't want to be standing on it.
Nexona.
No.
That's a wild guess. I'd love.
You know, Eli, you might be at a disadvantage because you're a healer and you don't really target anything else. You don't see anything else. Plus you play in first person, so you don't see anything other than what's right in front of you.
That is true. So I'm going to have to throw in the towel on this one.
You're missing so much of the game.
Mm. I'm getting better at it, though.
Okay, well, the Dry Ice Patch, the Aether Cloud, and Scorch spawn in a bar.
That doesn't help.
In a room with a bar, and behind the bar is a bartender.
Unrest? The sadistic bartender?
Sadistic bartender.
Oh, okay. I think I may have been hung up a little bit on thinking that they were epics. And that was not a requirement.
No, the Rat Queen was not epic.
That is true, and I didn't even think of that. Okay.
Another one that we had was a Fearling Tot, and I know you know this one.
Yeah, that's that big dude in that zone off of the Isle of Fear or something, the Fear-Tainted Island.
Mm-hmm.
Walling? Is his name Walling or something?
No, but what are those Fearling Tots? What are they?
Tater
kind
tots.
Of mobs?
They're the little Fearling dudes, with the little googly eye things, aren't they?
Okay. And so what is that named going to be?
I can picture him. I just don't know. I can't think of his name. As soon as you say it, I'll know it.
You had a macro for him. Everyone has a macro for him.
I did not. Again, as a healer, I didn't. Because really? I didn't have to target. I just targeted the tank.
But you knew target was part of the macro.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Wow. You missed so much of the game. The rest of us have to go through all these hoops. Target, Norble, the playful.
Norble. The See, playful. Yeah. I remember that now as soon as you say that.
I think the first time I saw that encounter, they said, oh, a bunch of ads will spawn. And when they say a bunch of ads, they mean like 5 million ads. And you're just totally overwhelmed by the sheer number and you forget to target. So that's why you have that macro. You're like, holy crap, which one is it? There's so many. That's a fun encounter. You can be killed by many small little tiny mobs with little sharp teeth. Okay, Arena Champion Krazik. Arena. It's not what you think.
So it's not related to Majdual and Desert of Flame?
No, it's old school. It's different now. This is old school.
I don't know.
Right expansion, I think. No, wrong. My bad.
I don't remember.
Well, they redid this zone twice, I believe. There used to be quest drops out of this zone that are now gone. You could also make special arrows out of this zone. And there was a special trade skill table to make those arrows on. And if you went into the zone when you first zoned in fact, you couldn't just walk into the zone. You had to kill a mob to get into the zone. And as soon as you zoned in, you were being shot by arrows.
Is that Death Fist Citadel?
Yes.
So is the Arena Champion part of the Emperor Fist?
Yes.
All right, so that was a little bit of a struggle.
But it's old school because the Arena Champion isn't there anymore.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of a tricky question.
I used to love that zone. I thought that was a well-done zone when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great dungeon crawl.
Yeah. Okay. You got the Flaming Drought. A Greater Death Knight. That's more recent. More recent memory. And I will tell you that I have never seen this mob. A Greater Death Knight mob. Never seen that.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, the non-challenge mode version, you wouldn't see the Greater Death Knights. You see something else whose name I didn't write down, but on both you see Fallen Dead.
Don't know.
He also drops, when you do finally kill him, a mount that I don't think you ever won. Malice Imbued.
Malice Imbued, okay.
A Greater Death Knight.
That he does, yes.
In Palace of Rhoanthir. So now you know. Now that I've said it, now you remember.
Yes. Took me a little while to get there, unfortunately.
So maybe that was a little hard.
That was a good question, though. That was a good question. It's hard with the amount of expansions and the amount of encounters we have.
Yeah.
Both heroic, instanced, raid. There's a lot of stuff going on. There are a lot of ads out there to add up.
I tried to pick recognizable ones, like a Flaming Drought. You knew immediately what that was.
Yes.
I thought for sure a Fearling Tot you would get right away.
I immediately remembered the encounter, couldn't put a name to the mob, though.
Yeah. I thought for sure you would get the Arena Champion Krazik for Emperor Fist.
Wow, that's a lot.
We go there every day. I mean, like, all the time, as much as possible. I'm surprised that you got the Rat Queen with the large tomb vermin, but I'm very impressed by that. So you get some kind of points for that. Well, the Dry Ice Patch, Aether Cloud, Scorch, I thought for sure you'd get that. The ones I thought you might have a problem with was maybe the Typhus one because it was so vague, a Minor Void Savage. But I figured you'd narrow it down to that Shadow Odyssey expansion and be able to pull it out. But epic fail, although you did pull out the Rat Queen and the Overking.
All right. Well,
so that was not a complete and utter fail.
2 out of 7 ain't too bad.
That's what they say.
That's what I'm saying this week. Maybe next time I'll be able to add it up a little bit better.
I hope so.
All right, so do we have anything else for this, our one-year anniversary and 25th episode of EQ2 Talk?
I think that's pretty much it.
All right, so let's first say thank you to all the folks who took the time to download the podcast and email us along the way. Certainly do appreciate that and hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's also send a big thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, Chevy Trucks. From light-duty trucks to heavy-duty duallys, Chevy Trucks are the most dependable, long-lasting trucks around. Choose from a diverse lineup of Chevy Trucks. Check us out over at Chevrolet.com and find a dealer nearest you and take a test ride in a 2011 Silverado. Chevy Trucks, like a rock. Truck. And Allie, if folks want to get in touch with us, how can they do so?
Well, they can email us. For me, it's Allie@EQ2Talk.com.
And for myself, it's Delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N, at EQ2Talk.com.
Or they can reach us in-game, EQ2.UnrestAlicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
And I'm also the same, so that's EQ2.UnrestDelmon.
We also have an in-game chat channel. People can chime in anytime we're on, or chime into each other. That you can find at eq2.unrest.eq2talk.
And don't forget to check us out over on the Facebook. So you can find us there at facebook.com/eq2talk. And we'd love for you to like us.
And you can also find us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/eq2talk.
So everyone, have a great day. I'm off to warn Paul Revere about the British. And say goodnight, Allie.
Good night, Allie. Hi, guys. Chala here. 98 blah, blah. Yeah, this is not going well.
No.
Let's insult even more people.
And Frouts.
Frouts? No, oh, I've derailed my own self. All right, save me out of this, please.
Are you suggesting my shaft is only 2 meters wide?
Damn it. I blew it.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.